Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shot fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
Beautiful people, welcome to this Monday, December 7th, 2020 edition of WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Feels good to be back behind the mic. Hope you all had a great weekend. It was a catch-22 for many Michigan State fans out there, right? Because the majority of Michigan State fans out there are also Detroit Lions fans. And yesterday, we saw the Lions yet again. And how many times have we seen this throughout the career of Matthew Stafford specifically, right? I mean, Matthew Stafford, what, now three seasons ago, he is the reason why the Detroit Lions had that nickname, the Cardiac Cats, because they would give every Detroit Lions fan a complete heart attack in the fourth quarter, but they would somehow, some way, pull it out in the fourth and come out with the dub. And that's when, you know, Matthew Stafford was really an MVP candidate in the league, which he's been a couple of times now, at least a candidate. And yesterday, we saw a glimpse of that as well. The Detroit Lions, I didn't think they had any chance of coming back in that game, especially with just, what, like 4 or 5 minutes left in the game and you're down by 10 points. But hey, that's why you play the game. That's what makes sports so beautiful. You just never know. It's incredibly unpredictable at times. And the Detroit Lions were able to find a win. Pretty amazing, right? So again, if you're a Michigan State fan, you're usually a Detroit Lions fan, and you got to win yesterday against Chicago, which I'll elaborate more upon later on this hour. But the day prior to, you played the Ohio State. And the Ohio State right now is ranked in the top four, predicted to play in the college football playoff. If they do indeed play this sixth game against Michigan come this weekend, which is in serious jeopardy. I got to be real with you guys. I mean, that is an interesting conversation in itself, right? But, and I'm going to touch upon this in just a moment, but, you know, Ohio State right now, with the win over Michigan State, I mean, it's fifth game of the year. Ohio State went 5-0 with that 52-12 win over Michigan State on Saturday, and you know, to meet that six-game minimum, they would need to play Michigan come this weekend. But this is a program that is dealing with COVID-19, just like many programs out there are dealing with COVID-19. Head coach Ryan Day, he did not man the sidelines for Ohio State against Michigan State on Saturday. And again, this is a serious conversation we need to have. Because I've also heard a few analysts out there say, I mean, heck, we heard Dan Orlovsky said it over the weekend when discussing Ohio State. He was in the broadcast for the Michigan State-Ohio State football game, that if Ohio State, let's just say they don't play Michigan and don't meet that six-game requirement, I mean, do we really think the committee should leave them out? Do we really think they're not one of the four best teams in the nation? Modify the rules. It's the year of COVID. You've modified so many rules. Why not do it here? So, I don't know. We'll see. But, again, that's all extra whipped cream and a cherry on top when discussing the conversation of Michigan State losing to Ohio State. We'll talk about Ohio State's chances of making the playoff later on. But I do want to dive into that loss for the Spartans to start today's show because, well, again, it's Michigan State football. And this has been such a roller coaster of a season for Michigan State, right? I mean, Mel Tucker in his first year, I mean, you got to give this dude a lot of credit because he is trying to wring out as much water in this really, really dry washcloth that is Michigan State football right now. I mean, he's trying, but that thing is pretty dry right now. I mean, I think that Mel is getting all that he can out of the roster at hand. That's just how I see it right now. I mean, I just think that this squad, when looking at it from top to bottom, which is why I always say when you have a new coaching hire, one in like Mel Tucker, you need to give this brother at least 3 years so that he can establish his own culture, so that he can bring in the players that he has recruited, just to let things settle in, and he can adopt his own philosophy and let it permeate throughout the program. So with that being said, you look at Michigan State, and look, the expectations were low. You know, I just predicted 5 wins at the beginning of the season just because it's the year of COVID, and why not? Anything can happen, right? But let's be real here. I mean, this is a Michigan State team that isn't that good. And they have already overachieved. Let's just keep it real. They beat a Michigan team that, as we know now, is not that good. Still always a great win. Anytime you can beat Michigan, I mean, that's your in-state rival, right? Michigan State, you know, looking at just what has happened throughout this season. I mean, you know, after you beat Michigan, you know, you lose to Iowa, you lose to Indiana, you get shut out there. But then, you know, it's so weird. You find a way to beat a Northwestern team that certainly was knocking on the door of really doing something special this season. It's still a good year for Northwestern. I mean, right now they're 5-1 on the year. But, you know, Northwestern coming into that game, top 10 team, highly touted defense, and you beat Northwestern 29-20. And you look at that game, too, and you say, okay, Rocky's the guy. Rocky has clearly established himself as the better quarterback out of Theo Day, Peyton Thorne, and himself. Throw him in there. He's the guy. But then you look at what happens against Ohio State, 52-12, and you say, okay, maybe Rocky isn't the guy. But I still think he is the guy. We did see Peyton Thorne come into the game. And again, we don't know. We need an update when it comes to Rocky Lombardi because he got banged up on the play. We all saw it, you know, in which he was sacked. Defender comes down on him, which I don't know. And Dan Orlovsky brought this up as well. I don't know how you don't throw a flag on that play because earlier in the game, you saw Justin Fields. He got a flag thrown on that play. Well, the defender did for landing on Justin Fields after a big, 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 big hit. The same happens with Rocky Lombardi, and he doesn't get the benefit of the doubt. But, hey, that's, I don't know, maybe that's some superstar treatment there. I don't know. But Rocky gets hit, goes down, and he was banged up, maybe a little woozy. Had to go back in the locker room. We don't know if that's a concussion or if he'll play this weekend against Penn State. We just don't know his status. But then Peyton Thorne comes in, and Peyton comes in and he's moving the offense at least, picking up a few first downs, making things happen with his legs as well. And then, you know, now you start back up that quarterback controversy. Okay, is Rocky Lombardi really the guy? Or should we roll with Peyton Thorne now? I don't know at this point, to be real with you guys. If Rocky Lombardi is 100% healthy, thing with Rocky, yeah, is he tough? Can he make plays happen with his legs? Without a doubt. Does he have a strong cannon of an arm? For sure. But Rocky Lombardi is not great at going through his progressions. Rocky Lombardi is not an accurate passer. When I harp on that latter point, not an accurate passer, I mean it's bad at sometimes. You know, when you look at throws 5, 10, 15 yards down the field, I mean Rocky Lombardi, he can't hit a receiver in stride. He can't put it in really tight holes where only the defender can get it. He can't hit the receiver can get it, I should say. He can't put the ball right in the receiver's chest. Overthrows, underthrows, it gets really bad. I mean, we saw that at the beginning of the Ohio State game. The Michigan State offense, and I noted that if Michigan State kept churning out three and outs, I mean, you're going against a highly touted Ohio State offense. Justin Fields is Justin Fields. I mean, he is arguably the best athlete in college football today. I mean, looking at what Justin Fields was able to do, it's pretty special when you see why this dude is a Heisman Trophy candidate. So you're going against an offense like that, and sure, they were missing a lot. Ohio State had multiple starters out, had defensive leaders out, you know, COVID-19 just running through that program. But we're talking about Ohio State here. You know, I had a conversation with my fraternity brothers before that game kicked off, and I noted that, yeah, sure, Ohio State, because one of my frat brothers, I'll be real, he likes to put some cheese on the game here and there. So he's asking for my advice. And at the time, at the beginning of that game, Ohio State was a 22.5-point favorite. So he was asking if Michigan State, you know, may cover that game. And I'm like, look, Michigan State never covers against Ohio State. You know, but they still had hope, you know. Two of my friends, they've been playing pretty well. Did you see what happened against Northwestern? Hey, Rocky, maybe putting it together now. It's Ohio State. Ohio State is not your normal Big Ten team, your normal college football team. They have some of the most talented football players in the nation on that roster. So I don't care if OSU had multiple starters out. A lot of those B, C level players are just as good as Michigan State starters. So all of that kind of goes out the window when talking about Ohio State having starters out or injury problems. So, and if you don't, and I remember I was in Columbus, you know, with my, this is back, what not, like 3 years ago? Was that 3 years ago now? Something like that. You know, I was with my now ex-girlfriend. She used to live in Columbus, Ohio. And, you know, we caught the Michigan State and Ohio State game one weekend, and that was that game at the Shoe where Michigan State just got totally blown out the water. And that's when seeing Ohio State up close and personal, and that's when Urban Meyer was still coaching the team, that's when I knew what kind of monster Ohio State really was. And sure, yeah, I covered during the D'Antonio glory days. You know, I saw Michigan State also beat Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game. You know, what a year that was, right? These are different times. These are certainly different times. You know, Ohio State is very, very talented, and we saw why, again, Justin Fields is just so dynamic. You know, especially when, you know, with all those injuries, he was having problems with the snap. He was having trouble with the snap. and you know, just that center and quarterback synergy wasn't there. And he bobbled the snap many, many times, but he was able to deal with it and play through it and still make plays. That's what good players do. That's what great players do. No matter the circumstances, they are going to find a way to be successful. They're going to grind and grind and grind and do the things that they can do, that they can control in order to find a dub. That's exactly what Justin Fields did, man. Special to watch. And look, I like this Michigan State defense, but going back to my original point, I tweeted out, if the Michigan State offense can't move the ball, or at least, you know, chew up some time on the clock, give that Michigan State defense some rest, then it's going to be a long, long day, and this thing could get out of hand, and it could get really, really ugly. And that's what happened. You know, after Ohio State scores on its first drive of the game, MSU went three and out, getting the ball to start the game. Justin Fields, QB keeper. Again, multiple bobble snaps, but he was able to make it work. Then what happens? MSU three and out again. OSU then scores on Fields, finding Garrett Wilson on the right sideline. And prior to that, you know, Justin Fields, the dynamic player that he is, the dynamic athlete that he is, I mean, he had a huge run that put Ohio State deep in Michigan State territory. And Fields just kept running. He kept finding, you know, receivers. And that Michigan State defense just slowly but surely just got tired, got worn out, got beaten up, and it got out of hand. Because they're looking for some relief. I mean, they're playing one of the best offenses in the nation. And you're sitting there saying to yourself, as a Michigan State defender, okay, please, all right, when we get off this field, I just need a few puffs. All right, come on, offense. Then the offense goes out there, and within 5 minutes, they're off the field. I mean, that'll wear on you. That will wear on you. I mean, my goodness. And you know, Peyton Thorne, yeah, he did come in and inject some life into this team. I mean, it was 35-0, a shutout until the 5:30 mark in the third. You know, Peyton Thorne found Jaden Reed, then a QB keeper for Thorne getting the touchdown, and then Michigan State finally gets on the board. But at that point, it's way too little, far too late. And again, the end result, 52-12. Justin Fields, 17 of 24. Talk about efficient, right? 1 yard short of 200 yards on the day, two touchdowns. Also rushing the ball, Trey Sermon had 10 carries for 112 yards. Justin Fields had 13 carries for 104. So you had your starting quarterback for Ohio State go for over 100 yards rushing. And also you got your running back on the team in Trey Sermon going also over 100 yards rushing. That's, yeah. And then you had a receiver go for 139, 10 catches. Chris Olave. That's Ohio State, though, man. You know, I know, Spartan fans, that didn't feel good on Saturday. But you have to change the way you evaluate this team if you really thought Michigan State had a legit chance of beating Ohio State. Good litmus test. This shows you just how far Mel Tucker and his team is from competing on that level. So what do you do now? Well, you get to work. You get to work. You know, Mel, listening to what he had to say after the game, was he perturbed? Yeah, I mean, as we sat on there virtually listening to him talk, you could just feel the anger and just feel That steam coming from that bald head of his just coming right through my laptop. I felt it. I mean, you could feel. That's why I love Mel Tucker. I mean, I love his intensity and how he holds his players, how he holds his coaching staff, how he holds his team accountable. The expectations are different. Mark D'Antonio may have been fine with, okay, yeah, we were competing against some of the big dogs, and, you know, we may have got close this year of going, you know, because the expectations were different earlier on in Mark D'Antonio's career. You know, I feel like, you know, on the back nine of his career at Michigan State, he just was happy with competing, and the dialogue started to change to try and justify his coaching career. But now, Mel Tucker wants to win it all. He's driven to that. You can hear it in his voice. You can hear it in his players when they answer questions about expectations. And, you know, he also notes, though, that, look, this is a process. This is a process. He was not happy with, you know, he was asked, you know, if there was anything positive that he could take away from this game. And look, he flat out said, at this moment, no, I can't think of anything. You know, we went out there, I guess, and every down tried. That's basically what he said. But, you know, he was very blunt and honest. No, I can't. I'm looking at this, and it's hard to harp on something here. It's hard to be happy with something here. 52-12, man. So he made the point that, look, I'm glad this is not the last game of the season for us. This would be a very long offseason if that performance was the last time people saw us in 2020. We need this final game against Penn State. And Penn State, a very beatable team this year. Penn State 2-5 on the year. Michigan State 2-4. No line has come out yet when it comes to that game. But if I had to guess, I mean, Penn State would be favored by not by much. I'll say that, not by much. You know, Penn State is coming off back-to-back wins against Michigan and Rutgers. Prior to that, though, I mean, they had lost five straight to Indiana, Ohio State. And the Ohio State game was much closer than Michigan State's loss to Ohio State on Saturday. That was a 38-25 win in favor of Ohio State. So much, much closer game there for Penn State, but still a loss. After Ohio State, they lost to Maryland and Nebraska and Iowa before winning those two straight. So we'll see, man. But I you just have to change the expectation. And, you know, because I've been getting this a lot. I think the number one question coming out of Saturday's loss is whether or not it's Peyton Thorne's time. And as I stated, I don't know. Again, Rocky Lombardi has issues, sure. But he has shown flashes that led to two improbable wins for Michigan State. So now do you just throw, if Rocky Lombardi is healthy, do you just throw in Peyton Thorne? And look, Mel Tucker has been riding hard with Rocky Lombardi. But you look at it, Peyton Thorne came in, he completed his first 11 passes. Something that Rocky Lombardi couldn't do. Move the ball consistently against the Buckeyes. Now you could maybe argue, okay, this was later on in the game. The Buckeyes maybe taking the foot off of the gas just a little bit. Maybe the Buckeyes a bit worn out. Different team. At that stage in the game, you could argue that. But Peyton Thorne didn't move the ball. No, Rocky finished the day with, look at his stat line, 5-for-11. 33 yards, and an interception. Thorne finished with 147 passing yards, 42 rushing yards, with a touchdown. So season just about over. You know, just two games left. I mean, you know, you'll play Penn State, and then, you know, that final game, right? I think the seventh game, Big Ten game. So, do you go with the redshirt freshman? Test him out? Many people believe the offense runs smoother with him in the game. He's confident. I don't know. We'll see. I would give him a chance. You know, but, you know, even if Rocky, now that I'm thinking about it, now that I'm sitting here thinking about it and kind of going through and thinking aloud here to you all, you know, why not? Now, you've given Rocky Lombardi many, many opportunities. And sure, you've gotten two improbable wins out of it. You beat Michigan, you beat Northwestern. Cool. But he's struggling. He just, you know, had an injury on Saturday. If there is any ideal opportunity to see what Peyton Thorne can do, why not this weekend? Why not? You know, he played well to finish that game against Ohio State. You know, much better than Rocky. Rocky's beaten up. You can use that as an excuse as well. You know, Rocky's still recovering. We're going to go with Peyton Thorne here. And just see what he's got. You know, you're playing for nothing on Saturday as far as, like, you know, competing for a championship is concerned. You're playing to win, of course, but in the big picture of things, you're just trying to get experience at this point. Trying to get experience, you're just trying to get better. So why not throw out Peyton Thorne and see what he can do? You agree? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That is the number that you can call right now and leave us a voicemail at. You can also weigh in on social media. Simply tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. Just want to get your thoughts on Michigan State football falling to Ohio State the way they did. Pretty much expect it, right? But where does this team go from here? Would you go with Peyton Thorne this weekend against Penn State? Is he the guy? Has he earned that start? And, you know, as we're coming down the home stretch here of the Michigan State football year, how would you grade this season? At this point right now, on December 7th, 2020, how would you grade this season for the Michigan State football team? Have they exceeded your expectations or performed below them? Because I think it all depends on who you ask. But I think the realistic Michigan State fans will say that this season has not been a failure. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, I will dive into the conundrum that the Big Ten has on its hands. If Ohio State and Michigan do not play this weekend, what should happen? That and more. You are listening to the Monday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Of course, I also have to note that yesterday at the Breslin Center, Michigan State men's basketball was able to get a 79-61 win over Western Michigan. That was just the second game of the year for the Broncos. Michigan State moves to 5-0 with that 79-61 dub over WMU. But I must say, man, Michigan State, that was a close game last night. Western Michigan, yeah, sure, the final score reads 79-61, but that game was much closer than that final score indicates. Actually, at the half, it was just a four-point lead for Tom Izzo's team, 39-35 at the half. And you're sitting there saying, oh, my goodness, this is shades of the Detroit Mercy game, right? Michigan State just squeaking by Detroit, 83-76 in that game. So, you know, since the MSU men's hoops dub over Duke, 75-69 went over Duke. You know, the last two games against, you know, in-state colleges have been kind of tough. So, where is Michigan State men's basketball right now? I think they got great talent. You know, this team is a team that can win the whole thing. I think everybody can agree with that. Very, very talented squad. But, you know, these last two games are a bit concerning. Turnovers, lack of efficiency, at least from the jump, from, you know, players like Aaron Henry, Rocket Watts, you know, who struggled a little bit. They got it going as the game went on, but slow starts. We'll see what happens this Wednesday when they take on Virginia. Wednesday night is going to be a late tip time at 9:15 on ESPN, so we'll see what happens there. More on Michigan State basketball tomorrow, but I want to come back to college football just for a moment. You just heard my thoughts on Michigan State losing to Ohio State this past weekend. So now Ohio State, you know, Big Ten favorite, a team ranked right now in the top four, predicted to make the college football playoff. Ohio State, though, as many of you know, Ohio State has to meet that six-game minimum. You know, the only way that that changes is if the average game played in the Big Ten goes below six and becomes like five, right? But that's not happening now. So if Ohio State doesn't play Michigan, Ohio State doesn't reach that six-game requirement that's needed to compete for a conference championship. So if you don't have a conference champion in Ohio State, I mean, can you put them in the college football playoff? Now look, there's a few conversations we need to have here, because let's say, again, this is if the game doesn't happen. If Ohio State and Michigan do play this weekend, then look, this conversation is void. Ohio State will play in the Big Ten championship game, will probably win it, and they will be in the college football playoff, right? But if they don't, let's just kick around that thought right now. If they don't, what should happen with Ohio State? Well, one, I'll say this. Attacking it from the conference perspective here, Indiana being in the Big Ten East along with Michigan State and Michigan and Ohio State, you know, Indiana has played well, number 12 team in the nation right now. Indiana has already met the six-game requirement, being 6-1 on the year. It would not be fair to Indiana, who has met the requirement, done everything right, no crazy outbreaks. It would not be fair to Indiana sitting there at 6-1 and Ohio State sitting there at 5-0 to say, well, Ohio State's still undefeated. We're going to put them in the Big Ten championship game, they're our best shot at making the college football playoff. That's not fair. Indiana, if Ohio State and Michigan don't play this weekend, Indiana deserves to be the Big Ten East representative in the Big Ten championship game. Simple as that. That would be fair. They'll probably play, Northwestern. Northwestern sitting there, you know, at 5-1 in the Big Ten West. But again, you know, Northwestern, they play Illinois to close out the year, and they would need to finish strong there, you know, to stay atop the Big Ten West. But you got Iowa sitting there at 5-2, and they play Wisconsin. Wouldn't that be something if we have 2 5-2 teams out in the Big Ten West? That'd be something, right? But, you know, Northwestern would still be the representative there because Iowa did lose the head-to-head matchup against Northwestern at the second game of the regular season. So I'm kicking around a lot of scenarios right now. But I think Indiana should be the representative if Ohio State doesn't play Michigan. That would be fair. Now, as far as the big picture look here, again, it's the year of COVID. This is a wild and wacky year. There are so many things that are different when talking about sports in general, let alone the college game, due to how COVID-19 has run rampant in our nation and throughout our sporting schedule, or lack thereof. Well, actually, we've seen a lot of games, but I will say I have been very surprised at the amount of sports we have seen in the year of COVID-19. So, do you change the rule for Ohio State? Knowing that, look, Ohio State's the best team, clearly the best team in the Big Ten. We all know this. Regardless if Ohio State plays in the Big Ten Championship game or not, Ohio State is that team. And they are the only team that has a remote shot of playing in the college football playoff and representing the conference. So I don't care if Indiana ends up playing Northwestern in the Big Ten Championship game out in Indianapolis. Ohio State's the best team. So does the playoff look at that, have an independent vote, have a conversation and say, look, I know they didn't meet that six-game requirement, but come on, man. They passed the eye test clearly. Ohio State needs to be in. But then you get into the conversation, right? Then you start getting into the conversation of other teams that have a shot at making that top four, that have more wins, more games played than Ohio State. Then you got Texas A&M. You got Florida sitting there. You know, Cincinnati's undefeated. You know, it is such a conundrum, and I think at the end of the day, you just got to go with the eye test. Now, they talk about the eye test being a big factor, right, when talking about the college football playoff. When you look at Ohio State, I just asked you this to my listeners right now. Take a moment, sit back, and think, especially Michigan State fans out there. When you look at what you saw on Saturday and what you've seen throughout the season concerning the Ohio State Buckeyes, ask yourself, is that not one of the four best teams in college football? Just think about it. Because in my opinion, it's pretty clear that they are. In my opinion, it is pretty clear that Ohio State needs to be in that number. But hey, what do I know? Right? boy, it's a sticky conversation. It really is, because at the end of the day, you know, some people are going to justify out there, especially the Ohio State haters. They didn't even play in the college football Big Ten championship game. They didn't even compete for a conference championship. How do you put them in? Because, again, I think that, you know, that honor would have to go to Indiana out of the East if that game doesn't happen between the Buckeyes and the Wolverines come this weekend due to COVID-19. They would be more deserving, but they're not one of the best. Whoever wins that game out of Indiana and Northwestern, neither one of those teams are a college football playoff team. I mean, sure, Indiana is ranked in the top 10 right now in both polls, but come on, man. Stop it. Just stop it. And as far as how the committee looks at Indiana right now, they don't even have them in the top 10. I mean, Indiana right now is ranked in, you know, 12th in the nation. Northwestern at 14. So, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Leave us a call. Leave us, shoot us a call. Leave us a voicemail. After the beep, leave us a voicemail, and I will play all of your opinions on this, because it's a very interesting conversation. I'm just curious how many people agree with my take on this, that, look, even if you don't have Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game, can you still throw them in the college football playoff? And I say, why not? It's the year of COVID, change the rules for them. They are clearly one of the top four teams in the nation. Do you agree or disagree with that? 517-355-WKAR. Call that number, leave us a voicemail at any point, and you will hear your voice on the Tuesday edition of the show. All right? With that being said, I want to close out the show after this final break by talking some Detroit Lions football. The Lions won. How about that? I thought that game was said and done. It was the first game for the Detroit Lions since the firing of Bob Quinn and Matt Patricia. Matty Patty was not on the sidelines, and interim coach Daryl Bevel He took over the team, and they found a way. They were down by 10 points in that fourth quarter, late in that fourth quarter. And next thing you know, the Cardiac Cats show up, and they get a four-point win, a 34-30 win over the Chi-Town Bears. So I'll talk about that to close out the show. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. And let's close out the show by talking about your Detroit Lions briefly here. As the Lions, I think this was more of a statement game from the standpoint of how bad this season has gone. And you finally make, if you're, you know, Sheila Ford finally made the obvious move of firing Bob Quinn and Matt Patricia. That experiment is now said and done. So after that obvious move, I mean, you start the healing process of moving on, right? It's like when you have a breakup. There's this healing process. And you're doing these things to try and get over your ex, right? Well, the best way for the Detroit Lions to get over the ex is of Bob Quinn and Matt Patricia is just to go out there, compete hard, and try and win. Winning solves everything, right? And they did that. The Lions sitting at 5-7, getting that improbable win over Chicago yesterday. You know, the Lions likely need to win out to have a shot at the third and final wild card spot. You know, Sunday's victory over Chicago pulled them within a game of Minnesota now in the NFC playoff race. The Minnesota Vikings now sitting at 500 at 6-6 on the season. But again, depending on the lens you look at this, you look at it and say, all right, well, it's got to be in full tank mode now for us, right? Because we won a high draft pick, but you know, the Lions are going to compete. They have clearly made that crystal clear. They've clearly made that clear in winning against Chicago yesterday. And you just kind of evaluate things and say, all right, but this felt good, right? I mean, first game without Matt Patricia, and you go out there and find a win. You know, Matt Patricia, he couldn't find a win against the Chicago Bears, and interim coach Daryl Bevel comes in there, first game he's coaching, and bam. You get a dub. Impressive stuff, man. Because, again, I thought this game was said and done. But, again, it's football. You know, Matthew Stafford leads his team down the field with, you know, just a few minutes left and gets a touchdown. I think he found Marvin Jones, I believe it was, on the left sideline streaking up the end zone. And, you know, after he finds Marvin, the Lions defense gets a turnover, and you know you're deep into the Bears territory, and they score and game over. That was the game. I mean, yeah, they had a last second, you know, opportunity, but you know we all know how that turned out now. But you know they get pressure on Mitchell Trubisky, and they get the dub. Detroit had lost five straight to the Bears entering yesterday's 34-30 win. Five. And now they, you know, they get that win yesterday. I gotta say, it's impressive. Now, you know, what are the chances that the Lions can make the playoffs? Because Matthew Stafford made it clear after the game, you know, he said, don't count the Detroit Lions out of the playoff picture just yet. Again, 5-7. You need to win out. The Vikings are 6-6. Lions within a game of the Vikings. The Arizona Cardinals are also 6-6. but have lost, what, 4 of their last 5 games, including that 38-28 loss to the LA Rams yesterday. The Vikings currently hold a tiebreaker over both the Cardinals and the Lions. The Vikings are that big team right now standing in the way of the Lions making the playoffs. The Bears tied with the Lions for 9th place in the NFC now at 5-7. So if the Lions can beat the Green Bay Packers, and I know you're sitting there saying, Al, come on, man. The NFC North leading Green Bay Packers. And also they have to beat likely playoff bound Tennessee, even though Tennessee, I don't know what that was against Cleveland. Shout out to Cleveland, though. Cleveland, Baker Mayfield and the Cleveland Browns, solid team this season. Colin Cowherd, I'm trying to see where you at, brother. All that hate on Bake. Not too much you can say about the brother this year. But Tennessee is probably going to make the playoffs. You got, you know, Tampa Bay Buccaneers also. That's going to be tough, man. You got Packers, Titans, and Bucks the next 3 weeks. And then you got that January 3rd finale against Minnesota. That could be for a playoff spot. So a miracle would have to happen if you are a Lions fan. But hey, crazier things have happened, right? The Lions always win the games they're not supposed to win. And they lose the games they're supposed to win. So, hey, and players credited Bevel's, you know, approach for fueling that comeback. You know, play loose is what they were talking about. And let's see here. Receiver Marvin Jones, this is a quote from him. Quote, obviously, when you come in fresh and ready to go and everybody's basically together as one, when stuff happens like that, it's a good chance you're going to succeed. So I think, yeah, that's been the difference. Just everybody gathering around, and after every score, every defensive stop, or somebody makes a big play, you hear everybody yelling. That was definitely great to see, great to hear, and we're just going to keep it going. Talking about the atmosphere on the sidelines being different, the air being different on the sidelines for this Detroit Lions team. Coming together. So, yeah, we'll see what happens moving forward. I will say this, though. Matthew Stafford has to stop throwing interceptions. I mean, he had a bad one off a screen pass yesterday that was just like, what are you looking at, man? You know, he threw his 9th interception of the season on Sunday. Early in the 4th. When you need points, man, you're trying to come back. 299-pound defensive tackle Bilal Nichols stepped right in front of a tight end screen pass to Jesse James, INT. I mean, that was Nichols' first since his junior year at Delaware 3 years ago. So, yeah, man, Matthew Stafford just hasn't been great this season. He has been inaccurate. He's tried to force throws. He's tried to do too much. And I think, you know, hey, clearly we're seeing the back end right now of Matthew Stafford's career, which is why this upcoming draft is that much more important now, knowing that you are starting to see the decline a little bit of arguably the best quarterback in Detroit Lions history. What's your backup plan? I think the Lions must go quarterback early this upcoming draft. And if you keep getting wins, you're not going to put yourself in position to get some of the big dogs out there. But hey, you got to start thinking about that stuff now. And I think that's why the thought process of many fans out there is a bit jumbled. But hey, a win's a win. And the Lions got that win yesterday against Chicago. And again, now they move forward and will play Aaron and company, the Green Bay Packers, at home come this Sunday. And the Packers are just coming off that 30-16 win. Thank you, Green Bay, for that gift, because the race in the NFC East is a sad one, but it's still a race for my Cowboys. All right, folks, that will do it for this Monday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. We'll be back at it same time, same place tomorrow. We'll talk some Michigan State basketball tomorrow. Also, we'll have a bit of the Mel Tucker press conference scheduled as Michigan State football now preps to finish the regular season against Penn State this weekend. Until then, be smart, be safe, and as always, be easy, people.